Welcome into the Cam and Strick podcast, episode number 116.
Yeah.
Dude, we're talking golf on this episode.
Dude.
I've taken my golf game to the next level. I may let you play with me on my new club that I just joined, actually.
What kind of clubs you got? No, stop. What kind of clubs you have? Go ahead.
You know what they're called.
What are they called? What are they called? I just ruined you.
Mirrors.
I just ruined you.
Mirrors.
No, we both look.
No, they're mirrors. Are Mira? Is it Mira? Is it Mira?
You don't even
know. I'm sponsored by them. Now, here's the deal.
We both suck, Andy.
The other day,
I can't brag.
The other day, I'm walking through Cam's backyard on the 13th hole.
Grinding it. You're just grinding it.
Just grinding it down. And he's like, what are you doing out there? But that's what I'm doing, dude. I'm just working, dude.
You're grinding.
Never, never a day off right now.
You like Bear Grylls. Look, here's the point. Dan Quinn was awesome. And I liked, we talked golf with him the whole time. The poor guy has like 860 games, and we didn't even talk any hockey with him because we're getting into golf. Like, that's what we're going to do.
And like 900 points or something.
900 points. Like, fuck, we're talking golf with him the whole time, which is great because we're starting to get into it.
Yeah, but you know this, Cam, and especially like if you're a former player, like it, being around all these former players. That's all they want to talk about is golf.
I know, man.
They don't want to talk about their career. Some of them like talking hockey, obviously, and we all love talking hockey, but we do it so much, man, it's nice to change it up.
It's funny, though, he said, though, the golfers, though, when they tell stories, when hockey players tell stories, Bobby Plager, the Chaser, fucking Roenick, to whoever we talk to, Twister, when they tell stories, it's always about somebody else, including them maybe, but they talk about other stories, about people doing this, that, and the other. Well, Quinter's like, no, when golf people talk about their stories, they talk about themselves. They barely ever reach out.
Because they don't play on a team.
Because they don't play on a fucking team. It's all about you. It's like a UFC fighter. Conor McGregor, he'll probably talk about other fights here and there, but he's talking about himself.
Like, I remember being at Obie Clark's, one time after a game, and there were a bunch of Rams players there, and Doug Weight was there. And they're like, you play hockey? They're like, how much money do you make? He was like, $9.5 million. And they were like, what? You make $9.5 million playing hockey? Yeah. It was like more than all those guys, you know, all these football guys.
I don't know about that.
Well, they weren't star players.
Some of the linemen, like Jacob Bell, I remember partying with him back in the day. He's like, what do you, he's like, I'm not going to take $10.5 million this year. I'm like, fuck.
Really?
No wonder your place is badass in the wealthy part of Clayton.
Really?
I'm like, oh, he fucking A. He was making a lot of money. Maybe 7.5.
I don't think you're talking about the right person. Who's Jacob Bell?
Jacob Bell played for the Rams for like a long time.
Like a big time lineman?
Yeah. I party with him at Harry's all the time. Infamous Harry's. I don't think I don't know. I swam in his house.
Didn't Richie Incognito try? He almost beat you up at Harry's.
And Justin Fry.
Now, for people who don't know.
His twin brother, Justin Fry, who's 6'3", 322.
And Richie Incognito, I was on a flight with him one time coming from Phoenix to St. Louis. He's like one of the scariest people you're ever going to look at.
He's a monster.
He's an absolute monster. He's got this like little head. He looks like his...
No, he does not have a little head.
No, he looks like he was...
Head.
He looks like he was...
You have a little
Photoshopped
head.
On this monster body.
Dude.
And he's one of the scariest people
you want me to tell a story?
Meet, dude.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Because you and Walt chirped me after this.
Did we?
Yeah, you did on the radio. Both you motherfuckers did. So I'm at Harry's, infamous Harry's in St. Louis, which was like the coolest place to go to, Andy. You know what I'm talking about. You got 40-year-old cougars there. You got 19-year-old hot chicks. You got the 25-year-old
girls.
This
is the coolest place Cam's ever been
fucking,
to.
We go there every single weekend. I don't know St. Louis. Okay, we're not in fucking Hollywood. This is my town. Like, what do you? So we go there. And I remember going there, and the Rams would start practicing and coming all, they would all gather together in early June-ish. And that's when we were partying because that's when your off season is. Yeah, and we'd be at Harry's all the time. So I remember seeing a bunch of the guys there, all the Rams players, all the new guys, they're all just there in a corner. And I remember being there with not my hockey friends, but my buddies who were just like, you know, not tough.
No backup.
They're like, not tough at all. Like, they're fun, but like, it's like I didn't have like, I have no backup on anything. We're there to just hang out with girls.
All right, so what happened?
So I remember talking to Jacob and a couple other guys I knew, and then some of the fucking big hillbilly motherfucking linemen that said something like, what'd you say? You chirping my girl or something? Like, no, I didn't. No, your girl, I don't even know who you are. Like, one of those. And I never chirp guys at this point in my career. I didn't do any of that shit at the bar. But this guy was adamant
and
to get after me.
He's a monster.
He was adamant. I don't know. Just one of those things.
So was he getting held back or no?
I go, I thought he was joking at first. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, fuck off. Like, yeah. And he's like, what the fuck did you say? I'm like, what? Oh, like, what? And then Richie came. Like, were you chirping his girl? I go,
oh, no.
Oh, my God. It's like two fucking Ninja Turtles coming at me, monsters. And they're like, what? And I go, I ain't fighting you two motherfuckers. I got cuts over my eye. I got stitches in my eye. My hands are beat up from fucking being a shit kicker. This, that. And I look, I go, there's no fucking way I'm dealing with this. And the guys on the Rams, instead of being like, and not to mention, you're going to kill me. We're all getting arrested. Mm-hmm. We're going to tear this whole place up. Everybody's watching us. Fucking people are, there weren't that many phones at the time, but people know who we are, what we're doing. And I'm like, we're going to tear this, and I'm going to get killed. His teammates were like, fucking get him. Fucking bag him up. Get him. Kill, curb stop him. Fuck. And I'm like, what? I go, if I was with the hockey guys, they'd be like, fuck you,
all of a
Cam.
Sudden, all your Eureka friends are like, they're like, they're nowhere to be found.
No, no. They're behind me like, Cam, let's get the fuck. I go, yeah. And then, like, the police were coming in. I'm like, get the Cam.
The police are like,
And the players on the, this was the most bizarre thing in the world, Andy. If your teammates get in a fight, you grab them, you get them the fuck out of there. You know the horrible repercussions. But
they were egging them on.
They were egging them on to fight me. It was the most bizarre, horrifying thing.
And he
in the
would
world.
Fight you. He like, that's what he would do.
And
like,
he would have fucking killed me. And he.
But we need to get Richie on the pod, actually.
It's crazy.
One time, I called him a thug on the radio because he kept getting like personal foul penalties, right? So I called him a thug. So the Rams, they did a prank on me and they said, hey, Richie heard and Richie's all pissed off and he wants to kill you. And I need you to stay after practice and address this and talk this over with Richie. And I was so scared. Well, I know, but I was just like, what? So they were joking. They were joking around. But anyway,
the point is like, here's the, who cares about him being,
he would have killed you.
Here's the difference. In a hockey situation like that, when you're in 2008, like the Blues guys would have grabbed you and said, no, you're not fighting anybody. Mm-hmm. Those guys were egging him on to fight me, and they had no idea who I was.
No.
Or didn't he?
No. They didn't
so
care, man.
So weird.
All right, getting back to Dan Quinn. So this guy, it's amazing. Like, when you're a great golfer, like, how many more friends you automatically have? Like, if you're good at golf,
Andy, you're
100% you're
right.
Friends with everybody.
You're 100%.
Everybody wants to be your friend.
Why do you think I moved to a golf course?
So you can have friends?
So I can have more friends. I don't even like half my friends anyway. No, you're absolutely right. You are cooler.
Mm-hmm.
But I said to him, too, like, back in the day, you're a snooty motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Like, in the fucking 80s. Like,
yeah, but he's on our
fuck.
Side because, you know, we're always talking about golf guy who's talking about his golf game all the time.
He's so
he's basically
humble.
Saying,
he's
like,
so humble.
Yeah, they're all full of shit. Like, they all talk like they're, like, big-time golf guy, whatever, and they have their golf jokes. So funny. So funny.
Shut up.
And then he brings them out on the course, and they're nowhere near they say they
exactly.
are.
Exactly. Everybody's a good golfer. At least Andy and I admit we suck.
Terrible,
but
dude.
Here's
but I'm
the
fun. But
no,
I'm
no,
fun
you're
to
not.
Golf
no,
with.
That's what I was going to
yes,
say.
Yes, I am.
I'm better than you because I'm more entertaining. I am fucking the clown.
I'm more entertaining than you.
You have to be, though, Andy.
Oh, you have
we
to
both
be.
Have to do that.
Yes.
We have to do our part because we suck right now.
We're going
to
be good.
We just learned. Shit, I might be a fucking pro right now after talking to fucking.
Well, now
oh,
I feel.
Boy.
Dude, I was watching his kids' videos. I'm not joking.
He's unreal.
I'm like, what? He's 14. That's okay. I see. I don't feel as bad. I'm like, okay, he's a kid, so I can just like watch. Like, if he can do it, then I can do it, right?
That's right. That's right.
But it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
His swing is perfect.
Do we need lessons, Andy?
His head is down. His front arm is like straight.
Andy, you need.
That's the way I was hitting it at Topgolf last week, dude. The way I was hitting the ball, it was so straight.
You need golf lessons and you need fucking hockey lessons. Oh. So you're a double dipping. I don't know what I want you to get better at. I'm guessing you're already fucked in hockey. You might as well get better at golf. But we need lessons, dude. Mm-hmm. We have to. And we have to golf all the goddamn time. And we have to walk the course.
I ask him.
I don't want to go out there and just booze and be like, ah, that's only for tournament style. Like, when we want to do it every day, I want to get a fucking workout.
You
want to
get competitive.
The tavern right behind
start
my house
it
is
serious.
Like, really, yes, I want to walk. I want to bring water. Like, drink water. Like, blah, blah, blah. Take some protein,
like get
energy.
Some, get some 7 a.m. tea times.
I'll do fucking 100 push-ups after every hole. Like, boop, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Get jacked up. Make sure no one looks at you because they're going to go, who's
your? Well, I've joined your new course. And
no, you didn't.
I asked them maybe to let you get in.
The private course I'm
maybe,
on?
Maybe no, they'll let you get
no,
in.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, maybe they'll let you in.
I'll walk on that mug.
Dude, the wildlife in my backyard right now. Can I talk about it?
Your dog?
No, I had a moose back there yesterday.
Andy, you have a fenced-in backyard.
I have elk. I had a moose. There's some horned sheep. It's the weather with the snow, the amount of snow we've had. All the wildlife is coming into my backyard.
So
it's just amazing in the poor part of the Ladue.
Isn't it funny, though, because Andy's jealous of my backyard and how big it is. And his is, like, closed in with his little poor little precious little animal. God, Blay. I'm coming over and snagging that fucking dog,
Blay
by
does
the way.
Not want to come in.
No. Well, has he eaten? He looks skinny as shit. I can see his fucking ribs.
I think he ate today.
This is unacceptable. I wrote an email to fucking PETA. Is it PETA?
PETA.
That's what I said.
What does that stand for? Do you know?
Andy's a horrible dog
parent.
Probably
protection.
Andy's a horrible dog parent. That poor little baby. You have the cutest family. Mm-hmm. And I just need to reevaluate a couple things over there. Things are unacceptable. Like that poor dog.
Blay is one of those.
Blay is just like, help me. It's cold.
He's got like frozen icicles all over. And he doesn't want to come in.
And he's like, go eat the snow. Like, I need like vitamins and nutrients.
Well, he's a natural mountain dog. So now when we have like.
He's a golden fucking doodle.
But it is amazing the wildlife that I'm getting in my backyard. You're not getting shit. The elk that I'm getting back there.
You have a fucking squirrel and a bunny that's trapped in there because you have a fence.
By the way, Dan Quinn, also living in Florida. Again, Florida's growing on me. I've said that. I wasn't into like the NASCAR vibe that I was getting from Florida, but now it's changed. Ever since I became really good friends with Josie Theodore and Ed Jovanovski, like my like close buddies of mine, like Dino Ciccarelli and Ed Jovanovski and Todd Bertuzzi, like my really good friends.
Yeah.
So ever since I've been like hanging out with like my close friends, now I want to hang out in Florida.
You guys can talk about like road trips and stuff. Back in the day, what was like back in the day?
The flights
together and things like that. Card games back of the bus. You guys relate to that. But Danny Quinn was awesome, man.
How do you become a great golfer, though? Like maybe it's not that hard.
It is very, very difficult.
You know what's interesting? Because he plays in this celebrity golf tournament.
It's very difficult.
Like Oshie and all these guys have played in it. Steph Curry, all these guys. And he's won it 5 times. We talk about that during the interview. And he's made some cash and whatever. But people always say, man, hockey players, natural golfers. And hockey players are the best golfers. Only one other hockey player has won the event. Like, pitchers are great athletes, too, man. Baseball pitchers.
Yeah, they are.
Like, on any, like, little youth baseball team, the best athlete plays pitcher and shortstop. These guys are great golfers, but only one other NHL player, Mario Lemieux, has won that tournament.
Yeah. No, there's some great golfers. Grant Fuhr, I mean,
the Oh, Grant Fuhr is a sick really golfer, good. Yeah.
He said that Norv
MacGyver?
MacGyver.
MacGyver.
Like, you don't know who he is.
You don't know who he is.
That's 80s style. Anyway, the point is, there's some great golfers out there, man. Unfortunately, me and you aren't one of them.
I'm closer than you are, though. I just went to Topgolf 2 weeks ago. I think I was driving at 200 yards. I think I hit the 200-yard flag.
It's awesome.
On a couple of occasions. I think I gave me like 32 points on one shot.
You're asking to get fucking beat.
By the Canadians?
Like, no. The buddies are going to chirp you so bad.
But what about...
Now, by the way, Andy has a fucking... Andy... Walked in today. Oh, this is what we're talking about now. You're lucky.
Hey, it's time to get to the library.
We're going to get the libraries in a second. But Andy's got a herpes on his lip. I saw it right when he fucking walked in.
It's a high stick.
No, it's not, dude. I know what a high stick looks like.
Ty got me in the...
No. You got a cold sore. Because Andy works his ass off all day long, and it worries me at times. Because when I know he's getting cold sores, that's what I mean. He's like
stressed.
Working way too much.
Yeah, stressed.
Calling different, organizing everything. You're getting a fucking cold sore. I don't like it.
I put my mask on.
Can I give you advice? Don't cut it open like I did and let it expand.
That, it's not even that. It's like a cut.
Now,
it's a
Andy,
high stick.
I noticed right when you motherfucking walked in. I go, yoink, that's a motherfucking cold sore.
It's a high stick.
Your girl's not even looking at you now.
Well, guess what?
You better not touch
her. Dude, she called me today. She took my car because I'm driving black tie.
Don't you fucking screw her
over. I'm driving black tie. I had another person call me today asking for information about driving black tie. But it's helping
everybody. They're not going to want your car.
No, so I'm driving black tie. So my wife is driving my car, and she decides like to take it through the car wash and stuff today.
Oh, well, she should fucking... Well,
she calls me in the midst of like one of my most stressful days because, you know...
You need an exorcism in there with that fucking cold sore.
She tells me she's got not one, but two flat tires.
That's unacceptable.
Two.
No.
How like, do you get
no,
two?
No. That's unacceptable. She did something wrong on that.
You think?
That's one in a billion.
I said, when you want to come clean,
did
you hit a curb? What was it?
You got a cold sore. She's screwing you over with fucking flat tires. I don't know what the fuck she is. She going off-roading? Hmm. What's she doing? Look, when your wife...
I called Car Shield, by
when
the
you're
way.
Well, you should.
Thank you.
And they're probably like... Two and one.
the odds
of that are one in a
like,
billion.
Cam only had one.
I had my starter fuck up, and your wife says...
No, you had a flat tire, too.
That's very true, but I ran over that...
And you had the cops
that
behind
thing,
you.
That thing on the road.
I had to rescue Cam.
I didn't know what the fuck...
The cops had the lights on behind
you. God. He's like, what are you... you okay? I'm like, if I rank some like, over.
I'm like, they're either helping Cam or they're arresting Cam. Hey,
if
I don't
your
know
wife comes
on.
Home and she's got two fucking flat tires, mm-hmm. and she's like, that was a coincidence.
No.
You got to look into that. Just look into that.
Oh, the investigation's just begun. The investigation.
I'll get my buys on that mug.
Is in the early stages.
Was she off-roading?
Because this is what
was
my,
she off-roading down
know,
like
we're gonna
Herculaneum?
That's, well, I do that.
With all her buddies?
I off-road. I like to go mudding. But this is what happens normally. Like, she'll come clean in like 3 or 4 days.
Like, yeah, I was my buddies off-roading. If she's talking about people off-road.
No.
It's not. You got to put your foot down on that.
Yeah. Well, what do I do? I mean, now I got to buy two new tires. Okay?
I mean, shit.
So, again, man, it was good to kind of free my mind and just
Car
talk.
Car Shield will help you out.
Talk golf. Oh, they did help me out.
What's the number on that?
It was cool just to, like,
what's the number on
chill today and, like, talk golf.
Yeah, that was nice.
Because I'm a golfer. See, even the golfers, the real golfers, they don't like the golf guy either, man. That's what I learned about this interview.
Well, the fucking cool guys that play golf are cool, and their golf lingo and when they chirp each other is funny. Just like when like hockey guys in locker,
they're
like,
playing
yeah,
fuck like
a nice fucking haircut. You fuck
$10,000 a hole,
and then these cats chirp each other. It's like fuck, you know. It's funny.
I can't wait till
it's
I play.
No,
for
it's
money.
The dipshits that go out there that think they're cool and like, nice drive there, buddy. Have another hook, just like your penis or something. Okay. And I'm like, well, that's funny.
I can't
Although kind of true.
I can't
at times.
Wait till I'm playing for money. By the way.
Sure about that?
Money down.
You cheap fuck. Are you sure about that, you cheap fuck?
800-857-2481. CarShield.com. Call them today, just like I did, when your wife flattens not one but two of your tires.
Hanging out with the Southern boys down Southern Missouri.
When you're going mudding, you never know when it's going to happen.
She's mudding with all her girlfriends.
And what was even worse, I had to tell her, this is how bad it was. I was like, okay, call CarShield and mention the promo code Cam. And you're going to save 10%, okay? She's like, what? I got to do what? Cam, 10%? I'm like, yeah.
It's easy.
That's the way it goes. 800-857-2481, carshield.com. If your wife flattens two of your tires, man, you better make sure you have that protection.
You got to put your foot down on that.
Yes, you do. All right, Bud Light Seltzer. I mean, lemon. I'm having dreams about lemonade right now, by the way. Lemonade is just in my dreams nonstop.
Is it weird that I'm having dreams of mango and lemonade, like making out?
Well, a little bit.
Without that herpes? Sorry, you look the other way. I keep looking
But
at
when
it.
I'm dreaming right now, all I see is lemonade. It's bold, it's bubbly.
Sexy.
And lemonade has come into my life. Things have really changed for the better since lemonade came into my life.
I'll drink the fuck out of
that. Yes, and of course, mango and lemonade together create just incredible things.
If mango and lemonade... If I'm alone in a room and I'm like, let's not look up today, and you're like, I'm looking up mango and lemonade.
Mango
I'm going to sit there for like 45 minutes.
I know. You can't make
hopefully
that
no one bangs on the door.
No, you hope not. Do not disturb. That's what I say.
No, okay? These two are going
I
at
put
it.
The sign in the back of the, I'm like, in the front door.
Like,
you know,
take
do not
your
disturb.
Fucking time, too, mango and lemonade.
Right.
Take your time.
That's right.
Slow it
That's
down.
Right. You know all the flavors. Black cherry, strawberry, lemon, lime, and mango.
Mango,
baby. And get that variety pack, too, man. You know all the flavors. Pineapple's in there.
I watch all of them.
Oh, I know. Pineapple, cranberry, grapefruit. They have a ton of selection. But we like mango and lemonade together, man. Again, BudLight.com. Order it today. How about... Dan Behlman, BehlmanN. And would you?
We love you, Danny boy. We fucking love you.
He's got the
relax,
Cadillac,
relax.
The Buick, the GMC.
Yeah.
May need one of those. And then
across
the street, he's got the Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. You can get that pink Jeep with two doors, small wheels with flames on the side. Get the flames.
Still get laid.
You can
I'll
even have mango laid. On your license plate if
I'll
you want.
Wheel off.
Maybe. Again, out there in Troy, Missouri, you know where it is. Go see our boy Dan Behlman. Best customer service you'll find anywhere.
Your wife
by the
can
way.
Go pick up a car.
Yes.
She's not gonna get creeped out.
No, they'll even offer her sushi at the. They'll offer her sushi and water.
Andy, can I like? Not like if you're going to a fucking car dealership and they're offering your wife sushi, it's gonna be kind of bizarre.
That's how they
you're
treat
not,
you.
Not sushi.
It's first class.
No, they're gonna give you like champagne and shit. You're way off on this. I could got sushi.
Oh
no,
my.
They're gonna come in like, hey, you want a fucking orange? No. They'll feed you grapes like Cleopatra.
Well, they may do that. A little bit of cheese with that too.
Cheese and wine and shit like that. Fucking sushi.
Well, last time I sent my wife there, they gave her sushi.
I'm going to fucking.
They gave her like a California.
I'm going
roll.
To Oishi.
They gave her
my
like, oh
sushi.
Yeah, Oishi.
Oishi.
You call it Oishi.
It's Oishi.
Oishi. It's like TJ.
No, it's Oishi. It's in Chesterfield.
I know where it is. They also have another one.
Is there like a...
I actually know the head...
You eat fish?
Yeah.
You just eat rice?
No, I eat a lot of fish. You know,
you get the air roll.
The head sushi chef, true story, my wife, like a couple years ago for my birthday, she always gets me things. Like whenever it's my birthday or it's Christmas, she gets herself things, but like says like to Andy on the gift, like, but it's really for her. So she got us cooking classes and we went and we learned how to make sushi with the head sushi chef from Oishi.
I actually do that. I was going to chirp you on that, but I'm like, fuck that.
Oh, dude, I can make some sick ass sushi.
I
may bring some in here. I can make some great sushi.
Andy, stop. Do you even eat fish?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Then that's good.
I eat a lot of fish.
Then we'll go to sushi together. Dude, that's my number one.
Me too.
I like my tomahawk steak. This weather's starting to get a little bit better now, and...
Kind of. It's like 20.
It feels like 75.
It does.
Feels like fucking 75. I turned the fucking AC on this morning. The point is, I love my tomahawk fat-ass steaks, which you say bye-bye to, because you're so fucking healthy, of course. Body like Strick. I get the tomahawk, but sushi's my number one, man. I could eat sushi all day.
Oh, all day long. So I got some sushi today from Whole Foods.
From the gas station?
I ran into Jordan Cairo. He was getting his pregame meal. Getting his pregame meal. He's a cool-ass dude,
man. He's cool, man. He is.
He's like living the life.
Yeah.
He's just a hockey player, you know? He's like, whatever, I'm going to go.
Well, is he a baseball player?
I'm going to go play like video games and then go play hockey, and then I don't know what I'm doing tonight, you know?
More video games. Can't go anywhere with him. Can't
so anyway, so check out Dan Bellman, Bellman.com, and get your vehicle today. How about Victor Hockey? Check out what they got going on, man. He's got more stuff going on with us too. What they've got going with Victor Hockey at Victor Hockey USA on Twitter and Instagram. Check out the t-shirts, the hats, the hoodies. Check out it all over there at Victor Hockey. Adam making stuff happen. Canadips, want to give them a shout out real quick. Talked to our boy Case the other day. They still got that California roll. Check out all the different flavors and find the one that you like. How you doing with that, by the way?
I'm doing pretty good, man.
Are you?
I need some more Canadips.
Yeah, I got some for you.
Well, I was thinking that maybe that Canadips could hide that fucking herpy on your goddamn
God. I got a mask.
Somebody help me.
It's a high stick. Ty and I were playing hockey. Bryce Salvador hooked me up with a shooting tarp. You actually liked it.
Oh, God, that looked really good.
Yeah.
You're going to tear your goddamn floor up, though.
No, I'm not.
No, you are.
Andy, we've got the little squares have drywall. We haven't put down
look,
yet.
Look, he's going to get bigger.
The drywall, I agree.
I like your style. Yeah, I like where you're going with things. Yes. I'm being honest with you. I chirp you all the time.
Yeah,
you did good on that.
Yeah.
You're going to fuck your floor up, though. And you need to put some...
But here's the deal.
I got to come over, dude.
Here's the deal.
I got to put my foot down.
I got the squares, the tiles. I just haven't put those down yet because he's not shooting hard enough.
I know, but now, he's still going to tear it up.
You're right. So I'm worried about myself right now.
Yeah, but you got to give him one timeout, man. You got to give him one timers and shit. So you're going to fucking lean into shit. So bury that shit up, dude. You're gonna fuck that up down there. You might have to sacrifice that room. You're in a big ass house.
Mm.
You're in a wealthy part of a wealthy area. Okay, everybody fucking knows. Andy gets pissed at me when I call it the poor part, but there's no poor part where he fucking lives. But you might have to tear down that wall and do something. You might have to put some padding up.
Okay, well,
I'm just letting you know.
What the
fuck
on that.
We do?
I'm about to work on that.
I mean, my dad. Did
hey, when I drive,
my dad did it. How that work?
When I drive black tie. I don't know about you, Cam, but that's what I drive. I drive black tie.
I got that car in my garage.
Got another
right
phone
now.
Call about that today. I'm driving the Porsche, dude. It's Porsche weather today, which
I'm
is
still
why,
not fucking with
which
it
is why the wife took my other car and you know decides she's gonna drive and like freewheel around
she
and go to a car
show.
Wash
no,
and flatten two tires.
She's gonna go out there with her buddies down in southern Missouri
and
go
mudding. You think that's what she was doing?
Yeah, she's mudding with the boys.
I can't believe
she's mudding with the boys
and
down
she
there.
Didn't, she didn't even tell me either.
No, she didn't.
So I didn't even see the car. That's it probably has funny. Mud like all over the windshield and the side of the car. That's why she had to go to the car wash.
Hanging out with the
that's
boys.
That's why she's going to the car wash. I get it now.
Control of that, will you?
Oh, my God. Hey, if you want to drive a Porsche, you want to drive a G-Wagon, you want to drive something exotic, guess what? You can.
Damn right.
Call our friends Dylan or Ellie today. Actually, just download
Ellie's
the app.
Cooler, by the way.
They're both cool. What did you say he looked like? Jared
Leto.
100%.
He's got to trim that shit up. Look, he's getting a little split ends on that bad boy. It's getting long. I'm jealous of you. I am jealous of that flow. But he does look like Jared Leto.
Mm. Or Ryan Miller, the former the goalie who plays in Anaheim right now.
Jared Leto's Jared Leto's a rock star and a fucking movie star. It's like that's cooler than Ryan Miller.
Ryan Miller's wife is a movie star, kind of. She's an actress.
Good for her.
Yeah, she's an actress.
And it's Jared Leto's bold, so it's like...
Okay, well, fine.
I'm pumping his tires up.
I know.
Although Ellie's cooler.
So, pick out the plan that you want. You can go bronze, silver, gold, platinum. Yeah. Hey, you don't have to drive luxury. You don't have to drive exotic. You can drive economy where the property tax and the insurance, everything's included. It truly is a dream come true. So download that app, and you can always hit us up if you want more information. We'll get you right in touch with Dylan and Ellie, and they'll take care of you and make it happen. Keepithandsome.com. hey, man, get that beard moisturizer. I used it again this morning. I use it every day. Now I use it like all over, like my, it's just amazing. I use it everywhere, Cam. It's amazing what it does. No, you got the head balm too, which I like. And of course, I like the different hair gels and stuff like that.
Shampoo and conditioner smell great.
Yes, it does. And everyone smells you. When you walk in, they're like, what is that?
Well, your girl, your girl smells you.
Yes, she does.
Like, you smell like a fucking man.
Yes, she does.
Otherwise, you don't smell like a man, Andy.
I do.
No, I
keep it handsome, and when you keep it handsome, it like, smells like man. You're like a fucking man
today.
Yeah, yeah, I'm the man, dude. As we talked about a few weeks ago.
I might have to go mudding with all my other buddies.
So keepithandsome.com. Hey, check out the hats they're going to be having that Mirko just came up with over there at Keep It Handsome. Those will be available very soon at keepithandsome.com. So look for those. CamandStrick.com. We have hats on sale right now. Pick out the color. And we'll get them out to you right away. CamandStrick.com. Keep It Handsome, by the way. Mention the promo code CamandStrick. You're going to save 15%. So we want to save you some money as well. Victor Hockey, promo code CamandStrick. You'll save 20%. Again, we're trying to save you money. That's what we're doing right here on the Cam and Strick podcast. Again, KeepItHandsome.com. Get that Fight Ugly hoodie. A portion of the proceeds goes back to the Montreal Resource Center.
Anti-bullying.
We are anti-bullying. You can also buy your hoodie on Amazon. They're connected through Amazon as well. So keepithandsome.com. All right. This edition of the Cam and Strick podcast, episode number 116 with Dan Quinn, dude. A two-sport athlete. He's like me. I played two sports. He's a two-sport athlete, although he's much better. I heard him slip in first overall pick in the OHL.
Yeah, he was.
This dude's legit.
That's a big deal. You're a big dog when you do that, man.
Dan Quinn.
You're fucking huge in the city, too.
On the Cam and Strick podcast. Enjoy this one.
Hey guys, Dan Quinn here.
Quinner.
Hey, is this the Atlanta Falcons football coach?
He's taken over my Google search, so I'm no longer the number one guy.
No shit.
I've had a lot of. I'm not very good at Twitter. I'm 55, so I did to follow my kids, but I've gotten lambasted on that freaking thing every time he called a bad game.
Hey, we just hit record and we just go. So listen, that's what happens though.
I followed you today.
If they lose a game and they start really struggling. Then they start blaming you, Dan. We're going to put an end to that today. That's not going to happen anymore.
Quinner, how tan are you right now? Seriously, though. Like, are you just tan as all hell, golfing all day?
Well, I just called. If you look at the temperature of the United States today, there was a whatever. Take the temperature where I'm at. You're going to need about 25 cities to add up to 82.
Ooh,
We're pretty good here today.
You're so right.
The rest of the country. It's pretty country. The rest of the country looks like it's freezing.
How much hockey are you watching? What do you think of the game? How much has changed since you got out of the game? Like, people know you played in the NHL for a long time, and then they follow your golf stuff. But you were a sick player back in the day, Dan.
Yeah, I know. So I had a career, as I always say. But you get better every year you retire. I always add a goal or two every year. But to be honest, I would have done all right in this era. I watch, although you know there. You know, I was saying I think you guys had Wayne on a little bit ago. We hooked a little bit too, you know, we hooked defensemen, but now you can't do a thing and it's a penalty. And all of the above that these guys get with chefs and the stuff that we did, and we flew commercial my first 10 years and trying to find a place to eat and all that for a smaller 170 pound guy really bode well to have food in the locker room like they do now and fly private. But that said, I think they've done a great job with the game. These officials have a tough time to watch, but it's like, you know, I'm name dropping, but, you know, Gretz was just here last week and we were talking about somebody. You can't get away with anything now. Even if they miss it, they're going to video it and you're going to get suspended anyway. So the whole barbaricness of hockey is gone. We played in a barbaric era with some of my favorite players. I mentioned Craig and Rick Tocchet and Bob Probert. And, you know, that's my era. Marty McSorley.
Yeah, playing with those old school cats is completely different. But I will say the two things, though, that you brought up is – the hooking and clutching. Like, if you watch these 90s games on, like, the NHL Network and it's the Devils playing the Rangers in 1994 or whatever the case is, and you're like, wow, all these skilled guys and the hits and the shit after the whistle. But then, like, they're hooking each other so goddamn bad to where the cuts you must have on your stomach after games when you have the puck that much, which I never did, but you, like, I can only imagine Jagr and Lemieux. Like, the game's so much better without that, isn't it?
No, it is. And no, but it was also like, you know, we had to hold up for our D-man. And then now that, but at least now that you can't hold up or hook or interfere, but the defenseman can't get run, you know? So, I mean, it used to be the old days, just dump it in and let's run somebody for 10 minutes when we're, you know, at home and let's blow them out of the building. Like when you go into Chicago or Boston.
Yeah.
And it's just very hard to do that now. And then, as I said, even for an offensive player, there was an art when you were going chasing a D-man around the net to put a little hook on him or lift a stick. That's a penalty now. So it's kind of, it's interesting that, well, I think it's in a good spot. Sometimes I wish they'd let them do a little more, but and I question. I mean, the slash is a tap, you know. But anyways, I think it all evens out the way they officiate it now. It's done very well.
Hey, listen, when you say you played with Marty McSorley for 2 years in junior, like I got to hear about this. Yeah. Like, what was he like in junior? Like, did his style in junior match what he ended up becoming in the NHL? Like, did you expect that from him?
Yeah, was that
he
mullet?
Was he different? Like, what was he like in junior?
So 1981, I'm first overall pick in the OHL draft. I'm 16 years old in June, and you know August I go to Belleville. It's a pretty good story, so bear with me. But Marty McSorley was a walk-on. Like, so we're an expansion team, so think about that. We're an expansion team. Darren Pang, who works for St. Louis, was the first goalie taken in the third round, first goalie taken over round. I grew up with Darren from 1970. So it was funny. There we are, first overall, first goalie taken. They do their 10 picks, but then everybody else is just an invite to make their team. It's tier two players, if you understand, you remember two-tier in Ontario. And then there's this walk-on group that they had just to make a team. And so Marty played junior C in Cayuga, Ontario, population like 52 people, you know, 13 of them are McSorties. And he shows up, and the first scrimmage we had, I'll never forget it. I'm scared to death and just trying to make sure I don't get killed. And all of a sudden, Marty has a fight. Then he has another fight. Four fights into it, Larry Mabity was our coach, and he yelled down finally, "Marty, enough. We're never going to have dinner tonight." And he had to tell him to stop fighting. But he fought his way onto the team. And as I tell the story, by Christmas, he took care of me. I worked with him after practice, before practice, and he was on the power play by Christmas. So he made himself into a heck of a hockey player, and as well as being, you know, the art of that role of those guys that knew when to fight, who to fight, how to turn it, you know, the tide of a game. You know, there was an art to that role. That you know, we all, I think, respect.
How was Panger back then?
Small.
I mean, listen, goalies obviously weren't the size they were now, but you know, even then, like he was a little goaltender, man. I mean, what were your first impressions of him when you saw him play, and did you expect him like to find his way to the NHL?
Listen, Darren was one of the best athletes I've ever known, and he never liked golf, and I never understood that because I love golf, and we were kids. But he was a great tennis player, an unbelievable nationally ranked lacrosse player in Canada. He could have played out, but he loved goalie. And he didn't. He was a good junior goalie, won a Memorial Cup. That he made it to the NHL, made it to the NHL at his size, you know, huge heart. Obviously, you guys know what a great guy he is, great person. It's to make it to the NHL. Shit, I was shocked that he made it, but. It's just kudos to him, and he's made a great career since then. Obviously, better one of the better broadcasters of all time.
Oh, Dan, he didn't like golf. He likes golf.
Did he have hair back
then? He likes golf more than you do now.
Dude, he had no. I remember like 1981 or 82. I said, "You play golf all summer." He never played it a lick. But now I know he's an addict. Like he's. I can tell a story about Al McGinnis. 1986, we're playing in another St. Louis Blue. I didn't even know that. Forgot to tell the story. So we're playing Winnipeg. This is the year the Calgary Flames went to the finals. We beat Edmonton out. But this is before we play Edmonton. We played Winnipeg on a Saturday. We beat them out. We go home, and I'm living with Al. I'm 19 years old. I'm 20 years old, and I'm lying on his couch watching his TV. And I said, "I don't know what you're doing, but can we please watch the 86 Masters? Sunday. It's the one Jack Nicklaus wins." Meanwhile, next thing you know, Chopper's standing up, screaming. He goes, buys clubs the next day, and I think he's a golf addict now. So at the time, none of the guys really saw, why did you go play hockey? Why did you go play golf all summer? And I said, well, I particularly like it, but it's changed, I think, the coolness of hockey. I think Nicklaus did a big part of it for us guys that played hockey, and I think Tiger Woods did a great job in 97, or now half the NBA plays, and guys that probably never would have picked up the game.
Well, it was nerdy back then. It was like preppy nerdy back then, like the early days.
Preppy nerdy, yeah. And, you know, yeah, stuffy.
Stuffy, shit, like, yeah. I mean, and then, like, then now it's like everybody wants to get into it. Like, I look, Andy and I talked about this. I'm forcing Andy to be good at golf because I won't invite him out otherwise. And I need to be better because it makes your social status that much better when we do business and shit. Like, I know that sounds weird, but it's so true. So it's completely changed from back in the day to now. And you're right, Tiger had a big deal in that.
Well, in 97, when he made golf cool, you know, to a whole other demographic. And now, you know, Michael Jordan lives a mile from my house, and he's got a golf course he's built. And, you know, you go up there. It's cool the way it's evolved, you know, despite all of our social challenges that we're dealing with. But it really has become, as much as it can be, it's a tough sport to be all inclusive, but it has gotten a lot of people playing the game that ordinarily wouldn't have. And I think Nicklaus in 86, at least in my era, and then certainly Tiger in his last 25 years.
See, like, I always try to understand, like, people who love golf so much, who can play every single day. And like, I like golf, but I'm so bad at it that I don't want to play every single day. I like action sports. I like playing hockey and stuff like that. Whatever, basketball, more like, you know, cardio type sports. But I want to be good at golf. Like, how did you get into it, Dan? Like, back in the day, if a lot of people weren't into it, like, what made you get into golf?
Well, obviously I was going to be hockey, but I was like, my grandfather loved it. They got me a set of clubs. And I didn't do boredom well. So once, you know, hockey ended in, you know, minor hockey, I was born in Ottawa. I moved to London when I was 12. And I found a place that it was a 9-hole course where it was real easy. And I became hooked. I rode my bike there every day. And that's how I spent my summers, you know. And by the time I was 15, I had 2 scholarship offers. So, and then 16, I'm OHL draft, da, da, da. What do I do? And I sort of abandoned the playing competitively stuff until this tournament in Lake Tahoe, 1991, I went, where they have 2 outdoor games on the 18th fairway this weekend. It's unbelievable. It's going to be an unbelievable sight. But so it was just something I just loved. I love to play. I don't like to do anything I'm not good at. So if I play something I suck at, I'm done.
Oh, no. But shit.
And especially for 4 hours. I'm like, somebody asked me to play pickleball the other day. So I'm done. 6 minutes. I'm like, I'm not picking up balls and doing this.
Hell
stuff.
No.
I'm going to. You give me a game of ping pong, I'll play all day.
Like, oh, my God.
That's locker room style, though. Yeah, right? That's a locker room
style. I thought I was going to become an Olympic ping pong player.
No, you weren't,
back in the day.
Andy, no, you weren't.
I mean, I was so good. I would win, like, the competition every year at the swim club. Okay? And I really thought I had the ability, okay, the talent for it.
Can we have an interview about Quinter? Hey, listen. Can I ask you a question? Look.
Sure.
Okay, so you know these men's leagues, and all the hockey guys know what pisses you off when you're playing with the boys on a 9 o'clock on a Saturday. When guys hook and clutch you, or they'll high stick you, like, that's like the no-nos of men's league. But in golf, like, what bugs you when you're playing with guys? Mm. They step on your fucking line. They talk. Like, what bugs you, Quinter?
I don't know. I think it's more, you can tell a guy right away if he gets it on one or first or second hole. If the guy's trying to compete and beat you, then I kind of lock in. All right, this guy's going to talk shit after, so I'm not going to let him beat me. Or the guy, good guy, and he just wants to have a great day. And, you know, it's evolved, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not trying to toot my horn, but I won the tournament title 5 times. I took golf pretty serious, played with a lot of tour pros in serious games. But when I see somebody, all right, this guy's going to be, he's a 4. He says he's a 2, but he says he's a 4. You know, I'm like, it's going to be a, I think it more than anything, and I've just told my son, it's the guys that say they shot 75, they shot 85 when they're in the bar after.
Ooh. Oh, we know all about those guys. Oh. Hey, and we're going to get into Jack. Don't you worry. We're going to get into Jack Quinn, too, the phenom. We're going to talk about him, the up-and-comer. I want to know what's going on. I mean, he's 14 years old. He's ready better than I'll ever be. That's how embarrassing my golf game is. But how do you start taking it serious, though, Dan? Like, when you start looking at your golf game and you're playing in the NHL, like, you only have a few certain number of months to be able to play. So how do all of a sudden you transfer that competitiveness you had as a professional athlete to the golf course?
Well, you know what? It probably hurt my career. But what happened was in 1991, I started in 83. So I'm 8 years into my career at the age of 26. And they invited me. I went. Well, Mario Lemieux got invited. And I said, I want my friend to come. So I went with him to play in Lake Tahoe, and I came third. And then I won it in 92, but it was $75,000 for first. And people don't realize this. I just made $75,000 for 1 week's golf, and they paid everything. And I was making $280,000 in the NHL. So I was like, I'm going to take this serious for the next year and the next year and the next year. And I ended up making over $1 million over the $1.3 million or $1.4 million in the 23 years I went out there and had a lot of fun. And so that's sort of where it started with me, 93-4. You know, it was worthwhile getting ready to play in that tournament in July every year. And again, I think as I look back, I worked out, but I also had that in the back of my mind. So I'd have to catch up after Tahoe and to get ready for camps, you know, the following years. But that's what works for me. Again, I competed as a kid, and I know the game. I know so many guys that hit it better than me, but I do know the sport of golf. I've caddied on tour now, so that I think that speaks to it. But it was a passion I had, and like hockey, but it was also something where I wasn't getting beat up and I wasn't getting clutched and grabbed.
No shit.
And I could make a little money. They got to me on the first tee in 91. I said, what's first prize? They go 75. I said, what's second? Like 35, and then it's 50 or 50, then 35. I went, all right, I'll sign that. I'm not going to play as an amateur. I don't need any golf balls from the, pro shop. I'll buy them myself with that money.
Hey, so
that's how it started.
So were you that guy though on the road with all the guys flying commercial, of course, which is just God awful back in the day. But you get to the course, you get to a city and you're like, I'm going to the course. If we have a day off, I'm going to the course. Are you that guy that would like, not even be around the guys.
You're taking
your clubs on the road, and you're like, I have to find a course. And everybody's like, where's Quinter at? Oh, he's fucking golfing. Like, were you that guy?
No, I'd have to go. If I didn't go with eight of the teammates, I wasn't going.
Okay.
And if I didn't, so going back to the commercial, though, like 84 Calgary Flames, we went and they timed a two-day excursion where we practiced, but then everybody was going to go play golf. That's the only time back then until I got to L.A. in 94, and that was actually a lockout year. Did I play a little bit of golf? But I played with mostly, Rick Tockett and, guys. Yeah. We would go work out, skate in the morning, and then we didn't start till January. So I'm in L.A., but no, I was never that guy that, and by the way, you never flew your club's commercial back in our day.
Yeah, no shit. Sure. So, they'd be looking at it like, what are you doing? Why are you going on this trip? Oh, your mind's right. You bring your fucking golf clubs. No. No shit.
Hey, but how many guys?
So we did, I remember Philly took us down to a place here in South Florida. And it was only if we're going to do it as a team until I guess now they can do whatever they want. But no, that was not that. I know some guys, if they could screw off and do it, I guess there's fun things they can do. Top golf. Now these guys all do it. It's team bonding and stuff. But no, I was more, I love, I'm a locker room guy and, good and bad. I probably burned a few bridges in the days, but I love to have fun and be around the guys. It's the one thing I miss. The golf actually gave me is I got to go sit in a locker room with people after a day and game of golf and have some beers. But I was a locker room guy. I loved the guys.
Yeah, but sometimes. But did you ever get to the point where like, God, I'm getting banged up. Like I'm having more fun. I'm thinking about golf more than hockey, and I shouldn't do that. Like, were you ever at that point? Yeah. Where,
that's why I'm 30. That's why I was 32, and I'm in my 14th year, and I shut it down because I was making whatever. 500 or something, 550, I think I was making, and it was just getting to be a nightmare. I couldn't get away from anybody. The bigger guys, you brought up some of the stuff that, to me, it was the expansion, the way they let Kevin Constantine coach in San Jose and Nielsen coach in Florida, and it just took about 4 or 5 years for the league to go, this is just awful. Mm. And, these guys didn't even forecheck, like those teams. They would just sit back with, they were not allowed to forecheck, just wait for them to come out. And then shit, don't you know, I was playing for Philly with a pretty good Lindros team. They ended up beating Philly and Pittsburgh with Beezer. And, I think Jovo's first year. But, I mean, the guys, the way they played was just awful. And then Colorado won their cup. But anyway, so to your point, I was pretty frustrated with
just
being
fried.
175-pound guy that unless I was full on, I mean – I had guys, Randy Moeller down here, he actually said the best. We used to water ski behind you guys. It was what it was, right?
So, I get pissed at people doing it in the men's leagues now. Like, if they hook you, it's like a no-no out in the alumni skates, but it just shows how far it came. But you watch those old school, like, you can't even get around people, man. So I get it. If you're good at golf, it's like, what am I doing?
Well, I can make a little bit, and I wasn't making, I wasn't making $2 million a year. So
no, I know.
That's the way I look at it. If I would have been, making a little more, I might have stuck around. But
the Cam and Strick podcast is brought to you by CarShield. Nothing more frustrating, Cam, than when that engine light comes on, and right off the bat, you're going to have to spend thousands of dollars to repair your vehicle. Call 800-857-2481. Mention the promo code CAM or visit carshield.com. And use the code CAM to save 10%. Yeah. That's carshield.com. A deductible may apply. Save yourself money. Cam. Sign up and get your coverage now with carshield.com. Cam. Now back to the interview. But Dan, you're that guy though that everybody wants to be friends with you.
Yeah, they
like,
do.
They're all like, hey, where what's Dan up to?
What's Quinter down?
We want to go golfing with Quinter.
Where's
like
the Quinn dog?
Like, I mean, your popularity must have just grown like overnight once people saw what kind of golfer you are, and then you're hanging out with all the big dogs, which we'll get into next.
Well, Tahoe was kind of cool with that. Yeah, I met a lot of guys outside of the sport of hockey, but then us hockey players, we're all like psycho competitors, so. even my best friends, if I won, they were like, it was so hard for them to say congratulations because they wanted to be the guy to win, you know, that's just the way we are. But yeah, I got to meet, you know, I just name dropped with, you know, Jordan, but you know, the quarterbacks were probably, the funnest guys, the Elways and Marinos and, you know, back from the, we're all, I was in 83 draft, sitting around with those guys telling stories was a lot of fun. And, you know, hockey players are great. Hully and the guys that were, I got a picture from Hully in 91. I sent to him last night. He was like, he looks like a Vogue model, you know, it's so funny. And it was fun to play out there in that tournament particularly. But the fact that people got to know me for my golf and caddying speaks to, I guess, the way my hockey career was.
You know, it's interesting because you said you won the American Century Golf Classic, whatever, five times. And I mean, you people know you from that tournament, televised on NBC every year. And people have always said, hey, hockey players are natural golfers. And Mario Lemieux, he's the only other hockey player to ever win that event. Hockey players play in that event every single year, and he's won it once. Like, who's the best golfer? Like, is it Mario? Give me some other guys, like, who could truly, if they wanted to put their mind to it, could be great golfers and maybe even compete professionally.
Yeah, well, the evolution of that tournament to what you just asked is, so number one, yeah, that was, so you asked me, I don't know which one you asked me, which one would pissed me off in a men's league. It was always the guys that said they were scratch players, they were hockey players back in our day. And then, all right, and then they shoot 80, 80, 80 in Tahoe. And I never, I don't want to say any names, but there was a few guys like that. But now they basically have all Canadians, or sorry, there's no Canadian hockey players. And so I always say the one guy that played against me in an all hockey tournament after I won Tahoe was a guy named Norm McIver, and he beat me, and he had a great golf swing, and he was a real, I saw that he was a heck of a golfer. Now I know there's, so coming to your point, I know there's a ton of guys, this Brad Richards is playing around here. Clark MacArthur has been down here. These guys are really good players. So if they could, you know, if they could get a shot to play, I'm sure that they would do very, very well.
So give me some of the biggest names though, like, that you've had the opportunity to hang out with and play golf with. I mean, how much fun is it? Listen, a guy like Charles Barkley, he's not at the same level as you, whatever.
Oh,
but
entertainment.
But I'm sure you've had a chance to hang out with him and some other guys. I mean, you look at what golf has been able to give you, you know, from an entertainment standpoint and who you've gotten to hang out with and meet, man, you're really fortunate. You have to look at it that way.
No, for sure. Again, I'm 55, you know, but so it, I remember sitting around with Joe Namath one time, and he says, dude, I love to sit around with you guys, but I'm not drinking at this moment. But I love to tell you a story about when I had to lock Linda Evans out of your, out of my house in L.A. I don't know if you guys remember who Linda Evans was.
Oh, yeah.
But so the stories, you know, those, we call them, you know, those hot stove lounges. And it was a lot of fun at those particular tournaments. And then, as I think we all like to do, is get to know golfers. And golfers aren't the most, they're not the funnest guys. So a lot of times that can be disappointing. But, you know, I got to work for Ernie Els, good and bad. It was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun, a lot of sitting around. That guy could hold story. He could tell stories, and he was an includer, you know, kind of like a hockey player. Was a lot of times golfers have a tough time, unless it's about them, they're going to have a tough time having a conversation with seven guys. But Barkley's the best. I mean, he is what you see, and he is funny and genuine and smart, well thought out. Again, with the current state of everything we are socially, I think he's done a great job. But yeah, there's a lot of them, I would say. Charles is one of the funniest guys, though, for sure.
He's one of the funniest guys in show business. And it's funny you say that golfers, when they tell stories, it's all about them. Well, it's not a team game. So nobody, you know, it's all about yourself, and you're going to pump somebody else up, but then that kind of degrades you a little bit. But tell us about John Daly, though, and caddying him. And, like, what does it mean when you caddy? Like, is it, I mean, are you like, okay, I'll caddy for this guy. I'm sure the money was okay, but dealing with John Daly, caddying for him, did he give you the look? Like, was it pressure? Did he drink 15,000 Diet Cokes, or was he boozing at the time? Loaded question, sorry.
So, yeah, so it was the June of 2000 at Pebble Beach. And so his agent was, I had just retired. And so his agent is from Pittsburgh, which where I was living, was a friend of mine, and helping me do a few things, you know, as I was navigating, maybe doing some more, like, see where I could get into and stuff. A guy named Bud Martin, who's still a great friend today. He says, I won this tournament that particular weekend in Pittsburgh, and I shot like 14 under, and I'm in my backyard on my 15th beer. And he goes, it's like 8 o'clock at night on a Sunday. He says, the U.S. Open's next week. John Daly's caddy just broke his ankle. Can you fly out? I said, what? I said, I'll fly Tuesday, or I'll take the red eye tomorrow. Something, I forget what it was, but I said, he's got to set up a good practice round game. But to your question, I was just a friend caddying, and And then in 03, I moved to Florida full time, and Jesper Parnevik was the first guy to ask me to go out. And I took it serious, you know, as a, you know, I really wanted to help him. And I got, you know, I was doing a lot of the, everything from yardages to reading putts to, you know, what club to hit. And, you know, I wasn't just being I wasn't just carrying the bag, as they say. And the same thing kind of popped as you did through your retirement, you know, when a subprime crash killed us in 08, 09, the job I had got eliminated at the Ritz-Carlton in the golf business. So Ernie Els called me up and said, you want to go to Asia for 2 weeks? And luckily in the second week, we came second in a World Golf Championship. But again, he knew I could caddy and I knew the game of golf because we played enough together. And that led to a bunch more. And, but it was, you know, $72,000 in a week. You know, he says, you want to do this some more? I said, yeah, I'll do it again.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, but what does a caddy do, though? Are you like a coach? Like, are you telling them, like, what club to use? And you kind of mentioned that, we kind of heard it, like, what is a caddy on tour? What are they getting paid? Like, what if the guy doesn't win? Like, what are they getting paid?
Yeah, so it's two sides. Right now, I'd say, well, if you go back to, like, 2000, 2005, those years that I was discussing, I think even Gretz said, like, in 03, Mike Weir won Pebble Beach. It was $280,000 for first. Now it's, like, $1.8 million. So generally, you know, caddies back then would make 10% of a win. And a per diem or a stipend per week. As the purses have gone on and they've got these world golf championships, some guys get a salary, let's say of the top 20 guys, it might be guys getting 150 and then a percentage of winnings. So they know every week they've got their expenses covered. But it depends on the player and the level. If you're caddying for the 150th guy, you're probably working for 15 to 2000 a week. And then, but you're on the hook for your car, your food, your hotel. And then if the guy misses the cut, you know, that's what you make. And then you got to get to the next, you got to buy your airplane ticket to get to the next city. But if you're working for these other guys, you know, the no cut events, which is the World Golf Championships and stuff like that. You know, there's guys making $5 to $1 million now, 500 to a million, for sure. Plus they have the bonuses on the FedEx. So it's just evolved like all sports, but it's become a job where, it's not a bunch of vagabonds or gypsies out there, although the lifestyle can be like that. You know, I've stayed in Red Roof Inns and carry bags through the streets of Dubai, you know, to go catch a shuttle. So it's, I did a little bit all in those 4 or 5 years, but I saw the world. I was caddying in China. I was in Malaysia, Australia, South Africa, like everywhere traveling with. But I luckily traveled the right way because the Ernie Els at the time had a private jet. I couldn't imagine flying in, you know, if I was in 42C, I don't know if I would have made it.
Flying out of Malaysia is always sketchy anyway.
Yeah, I don't know how that would go.
Hey,
down.
Real quick, like, okay, so anytime like you're caddying, you're like, okay, use this three wood. I think this is the right thing. Blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden he crushes it and the slices and he looks back at you like, what'd you do? And you're like, oh, my bad. Like anytime you kind of got pressured and the guy kind of put you on a spot and you're uncomfortable. Cause again, we talked about golfers are not team players.
Right. But how much pressure is a caddy under?
Yeah. Like they give you that look.
Yeah. So no, what you do is, I mean, the worst part was when they asked you to. I mean, I know guys, caddies that last out there, they hide in bunkers, and everybody goes, "What's that mean?" They said they'll rake a bunker, and they're not coming up to read that 8 footer for par, but they'll read that 3 footer for birdie because they don't. Anyway, but to your point, you know, the way a good caddy does it is he provides the information. I'll say, "All right, we got 142 to the front, pins on 22. That means we got 166 to the hole. It's playing up about 3 to 5 yards because it's slightly elevated, and the wind's in off the right." And then he'll, by his next question, is where you have to be able to say, you think it's a good 8-iron? Then you go, all right, 8-iron gets us to the front, might not get us to the pin, but it's the right club. And you just gotta, but the best players are usually the best caddies. And by the questions they ask and the information you give back to them is when they know that you know what you're doing. But you're never going to tell a professional golfer before he says, ask you any questions, all right, this is an 8-iron. Like you have to do the conversation with him so that he feels that, yep, you know, you're, because if he doesn't believe it, forget it. You might not even carry the bag the next hole. That 8-iron carries a bunch. But some guys are better than others. But that's sort of the way I think all the, I was lucky to work with Steve Williams and a lot of Tiger Woods groups. And most guys give the information, make sure the player believes it. And then if they're asked, you know, the good ones, they're convicted to it. But they have to have a little bit of a, you know, they're not going to just, nobody tells it right away. They ask them and then, by the question they asked you, if you can tell a player's uncomfortable. And I won a few times. So I, you know, being that 71st, 72nd hole, the nerves of a player that, you know, you don't think is going to ask, all of a sudden the questions come out. You got to be calm. And I also say this to somebody, I got a lot of friends that caddy and they're asking, what was it like in tourists? You can't play the shot like you can't play the shot they're playing. You have to be one step ahead. So if I've already done my work for that hole, I got to be thinking, all right, where's the bunker on the next hole? If we're on the fifth green, for example, in the sixth hole, if it's 225 to carry a bunker and 310 to the one on the right, I want those numbers in my head. So when I get put the bag down on the tee, I've already done that work. So when the player asks me, I'm not looking for it, right? So you have to be one step ahead is the best advice I'd always give to people ask me. You got to be one step ahead. Don't play the shot. Let the player keep score. You got to be one step ahead.
I have a concussion thinking about it.
Let me ask you this. You play with all these big dogs, Jordan, Barkley. I mean, Roenick told some great stories with playing golf with Jordan, but not even him. But like when you're playing with all these celebrities who've got, you know, big-time dough, deep pockets, like – people are putting some serious money down on the golf course, right? I mean, what's the most you've ever seen somebody bet for a specific hole or over a round of golf? And, like, did you ever get caught up in that?
Yeah, no, when I hit, you know, was flush, we've had some big games, you know, and I used to, the one I got in the crew that, when I played for the LA Kings, that crew I got in with out there, which was some hockey players, but not many, but some real, you know, professional golfers, for lack of a better word. I used to say, I would. They play with anything. They pay with cash and brown paper bags. And I said, all right, I'll come in. I'll expose 10 grand for the day. That's golf and then gin after. And if I'm, since I'm done, I'm done. I'm not going to chase it. So that's what, that sort of was my rule. I could be down 4 grand at golf and then, you know, win 10 back at gin. Or, but once I was done 10, I was done. I would just freeze. I call it a freeze out and I'll see you next time. So usually it was the gin and drinks that was the worst part.
It's like you're forced to gamble when you golf all the time, right? Like,
you know,
you're just with buddies.
You know, guys. But just time when you guys probably started. Remember when we used to play euchre in the 80s and early 90s, and then you know everybody started playing the
poker.
What do you call it? Poker on the
seven up, seven down, schnarples.
Oh my
That's what
god!
We did,
and guys
dude.
Would get off, then they'd race to the back of the bus to keep going. You know, because somebody was down 7 or 10 grand. You know, it was like Jesus Christ. This is,
yeah, the Keith Kachuk, who wouldn't blue light your ass?
Hey,
blue light. That's what. That's the Darius Kapp's brightest line.
We had him on the pod.
We had him on, man. He was hilarious.
He's awesome.
Hey, let's talk about the new Bud Light Seltzer.
Oh, yeah.
It's an easy-drinking, hard seltzer that comes in four delicious fruit flavors.
Mm.
Black cherry, ooh, strawberry, yes, lemon lime, and Cam's favorite, mango.
Oh, with mango.
With only 100 calories, 5% alcohol, and less than a gram of sugar, mm-hmm, you might as well have a few tonight or this weekend. Mm. Go to BudLight.com to buy Bud Light Seltzer online. Must be 21 years of age or older. Bud Light Seltzer. Unquestionably good.
Yeah.
Now back to the interview. Hey, listen, I got to ask you about your son Jake, man, because I watch the videos. This is how pathetic I am, though. Like I'm learning
you
from like a 14 year old. I'm like watching his swing so I can get better, Dan. That's what I'm doing right now. Like he just looks like he's headed in the right direction. I'm curious if you watched like the Tiger Woods documentary and you saw like how his dad was with him, like, and what your take was on that, especially now that you're raising a golfer.
Yeah. So I watched that documentary. I didn't particularly care for the soap opera part of it, but mm-hmm, I wanted to see, and I knew Tiger and I've known, you know, how his dad brought him up. And so I'd say that there's twofold for my son. Unfortunately, when he gets in a car, you know, these last couple, 3 years with me after a game of golf, that I don't particularly like what he did or he made the same mistakes. I said, I'm sorry, you got the wrong dad, but don't did it. And you know, I go at him. I'm not going to say, oh, good job, son. You know, good job shooting 86, you know, but I go, he's got that dad. But at the same time, I just told somebody like a year ago before this pandemic, you know, he just reached puberty. 3 months later, he was got into it. And now he's got, you know, I don't have to tell him to go to the golf course or ask him to go to the golf course or do anything. He's over there because of the virtual school. It's really helped his golf. The pandemic's really helped his golf game because he's not in a classroom, structured classroom. He's doing everything online. So it's and dude, I don't know. He just got the passion for it. He loves it. He lives on. I said, you live in the right climate. There's no use trying to be a hockey player here in Florida. But, you know, if you love it, get after it and I'll support you. So, but he's become really good. He's got potential. And again, more importantly, as you guys know, I don't know how many guys we play with that. I always say there's so many guys that were way better than me that never had good careers. And there's so many guys that I was way better than that had better careers than me. So we'll see where he gets to. He's got to have the passion and the effort. And now it's so much about physicality being like, you got to work out, but he's trying to tell a 14-year-old to do all these golf specific stuff. But he's lucky. He's met a lot of guys. He's met Dustin and Justin Thomas and McIlroy. So he's been lucky to meet some guys that it's inspiring because you see people like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you weren't like Tiger's dad, though? Like, you know, taking women into that, like, thing and banging them in front of them? That's a negative.
Oh, my God.
That's going to fuck your
Well,
kid
let
up.
Me ask you this, because you're a hockey guy. You grew up playing hockey, and we've all been around that, right? Our lives growing up as hockey players. And then, you know, coaching now the last like 20 years, these parents are crazy. Like, they're nuts. Shit. Like, what are the golf parents like? Is there like, are there crazy golf parents? Do you see those?
I think they're worse. I'll be honest with you. I watch they don't know what they're doing. And they got these kids that got no chance, and they're 9, 10, 11 years old. And they're, you got to do your reps, and they're trying to be Earl Woods. The only reason Earl Woods was good is Tiger was good. You know, show me a good coach and I'll show you a good player. Same thing in hockey, really.
Yeah.
Starting a good player, I'll show you a good coach. I mean, there's no coach is going to make a bad team win a Stanley Cup, right? And it's sort of the same in golf. If the guy can play, he's going to make a caddy look good, and he's going to make his coach look good. But you know, I think that Earl Woods saying, you know, I'm not going to throw stones, but I've done almost everything, every mistake you can make. But so far, not that trailer thing.
Well, that's good. Don't do that.
I'm just saying, because that would mess you up more than anything. Like, what's daddy
doing? Well, it's
doing?
Almost like Tiger. See, it's interesting how you put that, because you said that, you know, he was a good player. But the way that the documentary was created, it was almost like Tiger was like created like in a lab or something, you know, like he was like a Build-A-Bear, you know, like they turned him into a golfer.
But who, like, that's where I said the guy must have known something was good, because I mean, the girlfriend that he had that the parents didn't like, they videoed all that stuff. And how did they know to video it?
I know.
At 16. I mean, I don't know. It's just, that's in the early 90s. I mean, that's before cell phones were that, I guess, you know, popular. Anyway, and I've followed it, cause I've known it, everything down there. I was caddying, in 09 when the Isleworth incident happened, and I live about a mile and a half from where the, you know, when he got pulled over. And a funny note, like I said, we all could have been there at one time or another, but that particular toxicology report, you're going to have a laugh. A doctor friend of mine says, that is some athlete. I said, what? Mm-hmm. He said, a racehorse couldn't have walked, let alone driven a car.
Yeah.
Hey,
it only went 20 yards.
What did you observe, though? Like, when you were caddying on the tour or whatever, and like, you know, Tiger is just doing his thing and he's winning all the time. Like, was there a ton of jealousy towards Tiger? Like, how was he treated by some of the veteran golfers?
I think the older guys, I think it was a bit of both, right? It'd be like jealousy and I can't win, I can't beat this guy, I can't hit it that good, to just respect to that, you know, they were seeing something great in their era. I happened to work for a guy that got beat up pretty bad by him, and you know, won 19 times in 4 majors, but had Tiger not been in this era, Ernie Els is what I'm talking about. You know, he started in 94 and won his first U.S. Open in 97. Tiger came around. So yeah, there was a fierce competition. Every time we were paired together, it was awkward. But it was not too dissimilar to Gretzky and Lemieux, or I don't know who, you know, Ovechkin, Crosby at some point. You know, it's just, you know, then I'm sure at some point it becomes mutual admiration to, you know, how great each of you were.
So, you know, you played in an era in hockey where you, again, you're flying commercial. You're not making as much money as you were in the early 90s. Like, compare the money you made playing golf than you did playing hockey. I mean, there's probably no comparison, right?
Well, for, you know, the weeks and the days, yeah. But I mean, it was expensive to play golf and join country clubs, and an out of pocket expense. So I didn't make a lot of golf. I made a little bit caddying, or a lot of money caddying too. So it's probably equal. I mean, I think you can pull it up now. I grossed, you know, scoring, playing 900 games and whatever, 800 points. But I think I grossed $3.3 million. You know, having scored 35 times and 40 once, I think you'd make about $4 or $5 million right now. So it's not the thing you can look back on, but that's why when somebody said, you know, you made 72 grand in a week playing golf in 91, and then 72 grand whatever I made in 2009 caddying for Ernie Els, I see I can do this. So it's a trick box question to a guy that played in my era, you know, because there's no, you guys know how much everybody makes now. It's unreal.
But just think, if you played like 20 years before you did, you would have made less.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
So in golf.
It's all relevant. You can't look at it like that, can you?
No, you can't.
Hey, I got a couple of hockey stuff though that I want to ask you, and then we'll let you go, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, listen,
you've been great, by the way.
And Al McInnes, I just texted him, said we had you on. He verified your story. He said you used to always want to watch golf, you know, whatever. And now he's such a golf nut now, man. But that's a great story. But what about Gary Roberts, though? It's funny because I read something about where you said, like, his first couple training camps, like, this guy couldn't even do a pull-up. And now he's like the face of Superman. Like just being like just a workout freak, like off the ice. Like, tell that story.
So in 83, I was drafted. Luckily, I went to Belleville like for 3 weeks before the junior camp, and I skated every day. So I was pretty fit. And then I did the first 4 or 5 days of the Belleville Bulls junior A training camp and then flew to Calgary. And but we get there, and this is the first year of, I think, testing. So they did body fat and an MVO2. Well, the MVO, this is before MVO2s. Badger Bob Johnson was the head coach. We ran the Calgary, where the Calgary Stampede is, like the track. We ran the track, the whole hockey team, like 70 guys. And back then they invite 70 guys to camp, and they timed it. I came like fifth, but then we had to do push-ups and chin-ups. And it was first, I was just lucky that I was fit. So fast forward to 1984, I believe 84, Gary was the first round pick, and we were doing the testing in the Saddle Dome, and I think he did a half a chin-up or one chin-up. And they sent him home the next day, and I said, dude, it doesn't mean you can't play hockey. I'm just saying they're testing guys now. it's just the way it is. And then he went home, and shortly thereafter, obviously through injuries and stuff, he even got worse, but he realized how fit he had to be to play in the league. And some guys weren't fit but could play, but I said, you're not, they're going to form an opinion on based on the fact that you just did one chin up, not 15. Yeah. And that's the way it was, right? So
Well, we had him on too. He was very, very emotional. Well, he got that injury and he came back.
He got very emotional.
Like, yeah, big time.
Did you room with Rod Brind'Amour? Like, where would that have been? Philly?
Yeah, so Roddy and I got traded from St. Louis for the Sutters in, what was that, 91? And then Roddy and I rented Scott Mellenby's house. Yeah, so we lived together for a whole year.
So much connection is crazy. I know. I love hearing that shit.
I know.
And that's what I love about the game kind of now is seeing, you know, Tocchet and Bruce Cassidy and Brind'Amour and a lot of guys from our era having great success, if not the most success, Berube, obviously, in coaching. And it's not the modern guy it's a really, I think it's a tribute to the era that they came from, and then to have the flexibility to get modernized and take in algorithms and analytics, as you guys know, but to still have a good feel for the game.
And they're all good guys, Dan. They're all great guys too.
Real guys.
Like Roddy was the best, and he was complete. I was a social guy. I like to have a few beers, and Roddy wasn't that guy, but I loved Roddy. I mean, still to this day, I emailed him when he got the job. I mean, nobody loved the game of hockey more. He did his own thing. He didn't care if you mocked him for doing pushups after a game in 3 and 4 nights. Looking he was going to be his own. Yeah, he was just going to be his own guy, right? And but I mean, loved hockey. I loved playing with him. Got to play with him a lot in Philly. Played with him a little bit in St. Louis, and obviously, he went on to winning a cup, and then winning a cup as a coach was awesome.
So, if Andy and I wanted to hire you to give us golf lessons in Florida at your house and stay at your house, how much would that cost? Do you get a boat too? By the way, is it a center console?
No. Only thing I do now is rent. I don't know. I don't have the.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, fine. It's gonna be cheaper then. What would it cost if Andy and I went on a course and you had to teach us lessons? Do you give lessons out?
Or go with Gretz, because Gretz won't let anybody pay for anything. So just take.
Oh, there you go.
Gretz will pay for the caddies, the golf. No, you can't pay for anything. I got it. He pays them on the 16th tee. Don't take anybody's money.
That's amazing. So, time to talk about our boy Dan Bellman. Ooh. Bellman.com. That's with two N's, not one. BELMANN.com. Hey, check out the new inventory. Check out the pre-owned vehicles. You looking for a Chrysler, a Dodge, a Jeep, a Ram? How about a Cadillac or a Buick GMC? All in Troy, Missouri. Get your new wheels in time for the winter. Now back to the interview. How about Mario? Yeah. And you I've heard you say, like, you think Mario's the best player you've ever seen.
Healthy-wise.
Well, and I say, so I say, from my era, I think if you put three guys, I think Bobby Orr, Mario, and obviously Gretz. Gretz had the best career. You can argue who's the best player. But when you're talking, if you ever pull up videos of, and obviously Bobby Orr, can imagine what he dealt with on playing on those skates and the way he skated. Didn't even tape a stick. But, he set records and, he was the first one to rag a puck as a defenseman. So I always say, and from me, and I saw him a little bit, I was born in 65, but I did see him play into the, in the early 70s. But Mario at 6'4", 225, that had the same hands and skill of a Gretz or anybody, really. I mean, he could pass, shoot. He was fastest player I ever saw, blue line to blue line, when he was fit.
Really?
Like, he'd get the puck standing still at the blue line and like two like 12-foot wingspan. One defenseman was already by him by the blue line, unless he got hooked, But Anyway, so I just say that in a respectful way to all three of them, and that, and even Wayne will say, I mean, he wasn't 6'4", he was 5'11", 170 for most of his career, but for a big man, that's what I always say. So that's my, you know, sitting around a bar conversation. But is there a better ambassador or anybody have a better career that'll ever be duplicated like Wayne Gretzky?
Who's the better golfer between Mario and Gretz?
Well, Mario and I played a lot. You know, we haven't seen, we, you know, in the last 20 years, I haven't seen him a whole lot, but he and I played a lot from, I called Pittsburgh home 15 years from 86 to 01. So we played a ton of golf, and we played even for the most part. He was a heck of a golfer, obviously back problems. I love to practice. Maybe he didn't want, he practiced a little bit, but I grew up playing golf. He just was a natural at it. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of the trick box, but no, Wayne, you just touched on it. I always say this, I'll leave it at that. There's been a lot of hockey players playing Tahoe in 30 years, and there's 6 wins, and 5 are with me and 1 with him. And I'm not saying that to be conceited or, you know, but it's
pump your tires.
Nobody would have thought it was somebody. Well, Roenick won there. No. Fierzy won there. No. Nope. You could go on and on. Fierzy or Clark Gillard. We could go on and on. Nope.
But it's a group. Anyway. It's a good group of guys, though, like Tony Romo and like some of the other guys who have won. Like, it's kind of cool to be like associated with that list. You said you won $75,000 the first time you won the celebrity tournament. Like, how much was the purse the last time you won, and what is it now? Do you know?
I think I won '92. Then I won 20 years later in 2012, and I was part-time caddy for Ells, and it was 125. So they've kept it kind of in the $500,000 to $600,000 as a total purse. Every guy usually got like $7,000 or $8,000 to come. So they covered their, you know, their airfare and whatnot, if they brought a spouse. So that's sort of the way it was. And yeah, it was good. I got to play in it for 23 years. And then I think it was in 14, they sort of wanted the Romos or the Currys and the new guys, modern, you know, to play. So me, Rick Roden won it 8 times. I've won it 5. And I think Billy Joe Tolliver's won it 3. Now Mark Mulder's won it 3, but that's sort of you can do the math. It's been won by very few guys over 30 years. But I think Romo's won it once now too. But
yeah.
So it's been good. It was great to rub shoulders. And then you become 50. You become old. You got to deal with the fact that, you know, they want younger people on TV.
All right. Let me ask you this.
Poor Romo's making 17 sheets a year now.
I know. And Mark Mulder, by the way, he played here in St. Louis, like pitcher or whatever, just natural athlete. You always knew he was golf. All those pitchers, man, they play golf all the time. I don't know if you ever got to play with some of the former Atlanta Braves pitchers like Schmaltz and those guys, man. But all those guys were great golfers. So let me ask you that stupid golf question, Dan, but people want to know.
Oh, here we go.
People want to know. So pick your foursome. If you could play golf anybody in the world, 3 other people to play with you, Dan Quinn, go.
So play with me would be, I think I would still go with my son, and I would go with Gretz and Darren Pang.
Ooh.
Oh, Panger gets a show.
How about that?
Dang, Panger's really good.
And who wins?
Yeah.
Panger's pretty damn good, isn't he?
Panger's pretty good. We played over the holidays. He was down here with Brodeur. We had a nice game. The two goalies played, who was it? No, the two Hall of Famers, the winningest player and the most high scoring player, played me and Panger. So it was a push.
Marty
was
fun. Happy Gilmore.
But you know, I live you mentioned the Cardinals, so I've seen Mulder now. I live a mile from where the Cardinals spring training is. That's where Jupiter is. So
I gotcha.
And the pitchers and all of them showed up yesterday, so they're all chewing at the bit to do something because they get bored. So they're all, I think, playing golf and whatnot. I've always said, I would say, who would you have a beer with? I've always said maybe John F. Kennedy or Bruce Springsteen. But if it was golf, it would be my favorite golfer to play golf with. And even though we've had our battles because I work for him, nobody better than to play with Ernie Els, because he's going to sit around, he's going to outdrink you after, and he's going to have a smoke, and he's going to tell stories. And like I said, he's a fun hot stove guy, you know, if he's in the right mood. So that's when I always say, I'll say anything about Ernie Els, everybody can hear stories, but that's one thing I'll say. There's no hockey player would have more fun than playing with him and sitting around after. Because even if he won a lot,
can I give you my four?
Storyteller.
Can I give you my four? I need Charles Barkley in there because I just need to be entertained. I want Elon Musk because I need to talk aliens. I need to see what he's up to, what the future's like. And then I would probably say John Daly. I want to see how many Diet Cokes he drinks. I need some guy in there. Yeah. And then probably you next.
JD's a great guy. Daly's a great guy. You know, don't believe it. He's got a heart of gold. He's a terrific guy. He's at his demons, but he's a terrific guy. That's a good pick. You'd have a lot of fun with him.
Charles,
if you play with him, Charles is not really I think he's improved and worked at it. And probably
he's got
better
awful.
Than when
he's got awful.
Yeah, he's horrible.
He's got awful, so just like Andy and I. Okay, he's in our category. Can we please have that?
How's Paul Coffey as a golfer?
So I play I've kind of reconnected with Paul because Wayne's been down here the last 5-6 years yeah. because of his grandkids. And so we've been talking a lot every day, actually. And yeah, I know he loved it. He was another one, never played golf when we played together in Pittsburgh. He got traded there. But he loves it now. And I know he's a pretty good player. So we have a lot of mutual friends that I grew up with in Ontario that they're all the members of the same clubs in Toronto. So I think he's a single digit. And I know he's a obviously a psycho competitor. So but he's a lefty. So I don't know. I've only played with him a handful of times. Okay. Back
don't
in
trust those lefties.
Well, he was on the list.
I don't trust those lefties.
People mentioned his name like that were connected with you. So next time you come on, we're going to have you explain what the handicap means to Cam.
Andy.
Okay?
Andy, we just learned so much from him. It's unbelievable.
Hey, we got to go. I got to go play golf.
Yeah, we're gonna
play
golf
before the game tonight, Quinner.
All right.
See you, Quinner.
Hey, appreciate you doing this, man. Very entertaining. Man. We appreciate
it. We'll see you down in Florida.
And best of luck to your son, too.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
See you, big boy.
Thank you.
Take care.
See you, buddy.
That was Dan Quinn. How about his foursome? I don't even know my foursome yet. I need more time, Cam, to come up with my foursome. Maybe I'll have that next time.
Hopefully there's some females involved. Oh, golf foursome.
Golf foursome. Jeezo.
I didn't know what you were talking about. We just got done doing it.
Who'd you want, like Elon Musk? Why is he in your foursome? He's cool,
because he's very interesting, homeboy. Mm-hmm. That's why. Very. I'd probably have Eddie Vedder and bring a guitar, and he'd be my fivesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can you have a fivesome?
Sexy.
Can you have a fivesome?
Yeah.
Let me ask the people at the club and see if they'll let us do that. I don't know if they will or not. They all know me. They like, listen, I'm in the club. I've joined the club. I'll have to ask them. We'll see if they'll let me bring you to the club in your backyard.
Walk in my backyard. Walk right in my backyard.
I was walking in your backyard the other day, yelling.
I know you were.
Yes, I was.
No, nutbag.
And I'm not afraid to do that in 0 degree weather.
Like fucking Bear Grylls.
Do you feel like 0 degree weather feels like real as bad. Cold as you thought it would feel?
Yeah, because it was 18 today, and I walk outside. I'm like, listen, yeah, I don't walk out here.
I don't want to upset our listeners from Saskatchewan,
God,
or Alberta, or Nova Scotia, but like, let me just say this to you, because I know you guys are all. Like skating right now, probably with your AirPods in, like just listening to the podcast while you're playing hockey or shoveling snow or doing something.
They do course.
I know.
Course
I know.
Things than we do.
But you know, sometimes it's just, it might be too cold to play outside. It might be too cold. And like, kids get so much ice in St. Louis nowadays.
Man, those kids don't care, man.
I know. It's like, they're it's kind of so cold. It's kind of cold.
Dude,
in Saskatchewan, they don't care.
Dude, in fucking Windsor, they don't care. These guys are so tough. These Canadian buys, they got Honda Accords up there. They got 16-year-old girls driving Honda Accords with 2 feet of snow, and they're going 90 miles an hour, like, not getting in accidents. And here we can't do fuck. Mm-hmm. It's crazy, man. And like, all John Morasti and all the guys, all those tough fucks, McIntyre and all those big shit kickers up there that live way out in the middle of the woods. Like, Morasti today had his kid, and I follow him on Facebook. He's got his two kids on a sled. Horses are cruising around. Like, it's like the coolest outdoorsy shit in the world. I think he's from Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan.
Oh, really?
Saskatchewan, yeah.
I want to say. Horses,
they're so tough. We suck.
Bernie Federico's from up there. Bernie Federico's from up there.
Yeah, but now he's a fancy Meadow lad, Lake. Too. Now he's a fancy
Yeah, but
lad
all his family's too. Still back there and stuff.
You always have Bernie's fucking
You always have your roots.
Those guys are like doing, they're cutting out fucking holes in the ice.
Sculptures.
Fucking ice fishing. And the kids are like not even bundled up that much.
They're like, where's dinner?
So I'd be like this. And he's like, hey, Cam, come up here and I'll show you cold. I go, I don't know if I want to see cold. Like, I'm a pussy. I go, I'm from fucking middle of Missouri, dude. Like, I'm a pussy.
Yeah, I don't need all that.
But you guys are, I love all that.
But have it be zero than 100. I'll tell you that. I don't like the heat. Like, the heat's got to go.
Fuck that.
Get me out of here when it's hot.
I could always cool off. It's hard to warm up. Mm-hmm. That's how I look at it. If you're working outside, unless you're from Saskatchewan, those guys are fucking hardcore. The hardest core thing to do is working cold. Mm-hmm. In the heat, you can fucking take a shirt off. You can dump water on you. Yeah. You can put a thing over
but
your head.
But it's amazing.
And like, you're sweating.
I know. But the wildlife that's coming in my backyard right now.
Andy, there's like, nothing in your backyard.
No, there's like elk
back there. You're
starting
to piss me off on this. No, like, you have a home on your right. You have a home on your left. You have a nice big yard. It looks like a hockey rink.
There's no home on
there's
the
no,
left.
You have a fucking squirrel. And you have a fucking deer. On the other side of the fence, and you have a bird that cruises in once in a while.
I've got some horned sheep.
You have a dog that
I think
there
was like a camel. And a moose. There's like several moose, actually. And some white horned sheep, man. It's amazing the wildlife that we're getting in our backyard right now. So I'll take some pictures and put some of those up on our Instagram very soon. This has been episode number 116. By the way, I was talking to Steve from CarShield today. We're going to do another video. I thought about maybe putting you on the pond outside of their building.
Man,
maybe
fuck.
Go for a twirl.
I already like pissed off all the swans and shit.
So I thought maybe we could do that.
I think somebody got mad at me for running and doing that video where I'm like, God, Cam, you scared the...
Yeah, exactly. People are trying to work around
there,
you know?
They didn't mean to do that. They told me to do
it. But listen, Car Shield employees can get through anything. Nothing distracts them. It's amazing what they're able to do. Give them a call today and check out their website, camandstrick.com, the promo code CAM, which is embarrassing. I know it's hard. I had to have my wife use that today. You'll save
10%. The wife's like using that one, though.
Yeah. 800-857-2481. 800...
Is there herpes getting
857-2481. Hey, a deductible may apply, as you hear during the course of our interviews here on the Cam and Strick podcast. Of course, our friends over there with Bellman, Bellman.com, Dan Bellman, they may give you sushi, they may give you grape and cheese.
They're not giving you sushi.
No, they might.
That's fucking weird.
What they give my wife when she goes there, to give her sushi. Hand roll.
Your wife gets
like
taken
fresh
care of.
Sushi.
Your wife gets taken care of.
Fresh sushi. Fresh sushi. It's amazing how they treat her. And again, you got the Cadillac, the Buick, the GMC on one side of the street. On the other side, the Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram.
I want that Buick.
Get that pink Jeep, two-door small wheels of flames on the side with the personalized license plate that says
that
Mango
Buick
on it. Yeah, get that Buick, man. You can get that Buick Enclave, dude.
Shit, yeah.
Pearl white with tan interior, captain seats, dude.
Ooh.
I am telling you, dude. Those things are absolutely sick. Speaking of golf, Tiger Woods probably has a couple of those. I think his girlfriend or his ex-wife in that documentary was in the video driving a Buick Enclave, honestly.
Unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
So, I mean,
that's
hey,
unbelievable.
If she can drive it, man, you should
anybody
you
can.
Should get one, too.
Because she worked at, like, IHOP.
One of his girls, what was he doing, dude?
He's
tell
horny.
Me, like, what's he
you're
doing?
Horny,
like, they, and did you see her?
Yeah.
Tiger. Dude,
and,
you don't have to
and,
do that.
And he had to. No, listen. She worked all day.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd pull up after she's grinding, working like.
I know.
And then she was like on.
I've
know,
got a buddy
and then
of mine.
He's still like.
A buddy of mine from
horny,
high school.
Man.
He's
that's
a,
called being really
he's
horny.
A host, casino host.
It's called
in
being really
Vegas.
Horny.
And
okay, we don't need. Is this a long story?
And no, but
because we gotta go.
But like, some of these stories about when they host like big time celebrities and stuff like that, and nothing gets out. Nothing gets
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I know. But the point is like
so
Tiger,
he doesn't need IHOP is
Tiger
what I'm saying.
Had a
he doesn't
girl,
need
like, this
the IHOP.
This poor girl's like, I just got done working 12-hour shift. I'm disgusting.
No, she worked
and
a double.
Like, no.
She worked a double.
I know. And he's like, I still want that. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that's like, I'm the complete opposite.
Oh, my God.
I'm such a princess.
She probably smelled like IHOP when she walked
oh
in, the poor
God.
Girl.
Remember
I
back
mean,
in the day,
geez,
girls
oh. IHOP
over.
Smells good, though.
And she's like, I just got off work. I'm coming over. I'm like, no, why don't you just stop by home
I
and
think,
shower real quick.
I think IHOP is, I think it's classy, actually. I think it's very classy.
It's nothing to do with that.
Okay.
It's just
no,
nothing.
I think it's very
you could
classy.
Work at, you could work at a fucking Ruth Chris, 12-hour
mm-hmm.
shift.
Tiger like, saw something in her, dude. Tiger saw no, something in her.
Tiger had a boner. That's what the fuck he had. And it didn't matter who the fuck
no,
she was.
No, he saw. I think she was very intelligent.
Oh,
she was very smart.
No, he had a problem.
And he wasn't happy at the time.
Andy,
it's amazing
he
what
a sexu- he
she
has,
made
he
that
has,
impression
he was,
on him.
He was, no.
I'm not making any excuses because he
was a
he
sex
married.
Addict. You're so crazy. Because
he was married. But she made
you're
that
so
impression
crazy.
On him the way that
he
she...
He was a sex addict, man. That's just what
he
do.
Does he eat at IHOP, too? Is that where he goes for breakfast and stuff? That's amazing, Tiger. You learn a lot in that Tiger documentary. There's no doubt about it. When I drive black tie. Yeah. Okay, so you can too. Get that Porsche, get the Lamborghini. You can get an Audi A8. You can get anything you want, dude.
I mean,
Ellie,
a
Ellie,
tank?
Ellie. You got to hand over the Lamborghini. You can't be driving that anymore.
Like,
okay, someone else
Come
needs
on,
to drive
bro.
That. Okay, like one of us may need to like try it out. So like you know, but she'll let you have it. There's no question about that. And Dylan's got the G-Wagon, dude. All these guys, the Maseratis. It's amazing what they have. So drive Black Tie and do it today. Download that app and hook yourself up, and contact Dylan and Ellie, and they'll be sure to take care of you. There's no question. About it. Of course, Bud Light Seltzer. Of course, our friends over at Canadips. And obviously, Victor Hockey as well. CamandStrick.com. We've got some hats available. KeepItHandsome.com. Hey, man. Get that beard moisturizer. I used it again this morning. I use it every day. Now I use it like all over. Like my, it's amazing. I use it everywhere, Cam. It's amazing what it does. No, you got the head balm too, which I like. And of course, I like the different hair gels and
well,
stuff like that.
Shampoo and conditioner
yes.
smell great.
Yes, it does. And everyone smells you. When you walk in, they're like, what is that?
Well, your girl.
What is
your
that?
Your girl smells you.
Yeah, she does.
Like, you smell like a fucking man.
Yeah, she does.
Otherwise, she did, you don't smell like a man, Andy.
I do.
No, you don't.
No, I keep it handsome, and when you keep it handsome, it like, smells like man. You're like a that's fucking what it smells man like
today.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm the man, dude. As we talked about a few weeks ago.
I might have to go mudding with all my other buddies.
So keepithandsome.com. Hey, check out the hats they're going to be having that Mirko just came up with over there at Keep It Handsome. Those will be available very soon at keepithandsome.com. So look for those. CamandStrick.com. We have hats on sale right now. Pick out the color. And we'll get them out to you right away. CamandStrick.com. Keep It Handsome, by the way. Mention the promo code CamandStrick. You're going to save 15%. So we want to save you some money as well. Victor Hockey, promo code CamandStrick. You'll save 20%. Again, we're trying to save you money. That's what we're doing right here on the Cam and Strick podcast. Again, KeepItHandsome.com. Get that Fight Ugly hoodie. A portion of the proceeds goes back to the Montreal Resource Center.
Anti-bullying.
We are anti-bullying. You can also buy your hoodie on Amazon. They're connected through Amazon as well. So keepithandsome.com. All right, this has been the Cam and Strick podcast. I'm Andy Strickland. That's Cam Jansen.
Hi.
We've got lots more coming your way.
Wrap it the
we've
fuck
got some
up,
unbelievable
boy,
guests.
Oh, my God. Yes, we do.
Some heavyweights.
I was wondering where you're going.
Okay. Right around the corner. So stay with us right here on the Cam and Strick podcast.